Hello, and welcome to Wolf Creek Community Church in Lacombe, Alberta. We exist to reach out and enfold people for Jesus, together becoming devoted disciples of Him. Let's join the pastor.
This often, but maybe once a year, I preach a first-person sermon. I preach as if I'm one of the characters who participated in the biblical story. And I don't do that in any way. My goal is not to entertain. That's never my goal. It's not to put on a performance. That's not what preaching is. But I do it hopefully so that we can creatively and reverently enter into the story and experience it. These are real stories that happen to real people. And sometimes preaching that way helps us creatively kind of remind ourselves of the people who were involved and who experienced these real miracles that Jesus did. And so I'd like to preach like that this morning. I'd like to preach as if I am, in fact, the man who was healed all those years ago. And so I'm going to pray, and after I'm done praying, I will be that guy. Let's pray together. Holy Father, it is good for us to be together in your house this morning. We recognize that we live in a time when there is physically, there is no tabernacle on earth anymore. There is no physical temple on earth anymore. And yet we, your people, we are the tabernacle. We are the place where you dwell in a special way by your Spirit. And now we, little tabernacles, have gathered together in your house to meet with you, to experience your presence by your Spirit, to experience that through fellowship, through worship, through prayer, and through the preaching of your word. And so I ask now, Lord, that you would in fact empower the preaching of your word by the power of your Spirit. Make your book live to us. Make it, help us to understand it and help us to be changed by it, that we might, each one of us, walk out of here changed and shaped, not by my words, but by your word and your Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. 38 years. I want you to think about that number, 38 years. That's about 14,000 days. That's how long that I was an invalid. 14,000 days. And sometimes, when I could arrange it, I would have myself brought to the pool of Bethesda, and I would have myself left there on my mat. Now, why? Why did I do that? Well, because that was a known place of healing. Now, did I really believe that I was going to get healed there? Not really. Most of us knew that it was mostly just superstition. But I figured, well, what could it hurt? Who knows? Maybe it'll help. There were rumors and stories about people actually getting healed there. So here's how it worked. The pool was a natural spring, and it would sometimes bubble up. The natural spring would bubble up, and when it did, it was said that the first person into the water after it bubbled up would be healed of whatever physical affliction that they were dealing with. Now, did that ever really happen? Depends who you ask. Anyways, that was the theory, and I had an obvious problem when it came to executing my plan of being healed in that pool. I was paralyzed. Now you can picture it, right? I mean, there's two rectangular pools there. There's five columns in the holding up, there's canopies hanging over to shield people from the sun. And then there's just a whole lot of hurting people. Multitudes of invalids, blind, lame, paralyzed. And so you can imagine that there we were, all of us, all day, waiting and watching. And then the pool bubbles up and the race is on, right? Who's going to be first into the pool to get their hearing, their healing? Now, who do you think is going to win that race? Not the paralyzed guy. So in one sense, my going to that pool, well, it was an expression of hope. I was going with the hope of being healed. But on the other hand, that was a hopeless situation. I was never going to be the first one in the pool after it was stirred up. And even if I was somehow able to be the first one in the pool, deep down, I really didn't believe that it was going to make me better. That's a pretty dark place to spend your days for 38 years. Hoping in a long shot hope and deep down knowing it ain't going to happen. I hope you don't know what that feels like, but I bet that some of you do. It's like there's this weight on your shoulders, right? And it gets heavier and heavier each day, and you don't know where to put it, and you can't get it off of yourself. And when that happens, you just start to get cynical about the world. And you know what happens? You start to resent people who have a good life, who have their health. And you wonder why God is letting that happen to you, and why no one else seems to care that it's happening to you. And you start to look forward to dying because you think, well, at least then the burden is going to be gone. Now, I don't wish that on anyone, but that's how I started to feel after 38 years. And then one day, everything changed. Nothing about my life has ever been the same after that day when a man that I didn't know came up to me and spoke to me, and he asked me a question, and then he issued a command. And then my life changed forever. A question, then a command, and then nothing was ever the same again. He looked me dead in the eye and he asked me, "Do you want to be healed?" Let me ask you, what kind of question is that? Why did he ask me that? What do you think? Did I come here to lay by the pool of Bethesda so that I can get a tan? Do you think I like being carried everywhere I have to go all the time? Of course I want to be healed. Well, that's what I wanted to say to him. But I could not, absolutely could not speak to this man that way. I mean, his face was so kind and so compassionate. And it was so clearly a sincere question. And so I gave him an honest answer. And I explained to him that despite the fact that, yes, I do want to be healed, I have no friends here to carry me. And so every time the water stirs up, someone else gets in there first. Since that day, I've thought a lot about that question. I think he was asking me to consider the implications, the responsibilities that come along with being made whole. You know, almost like in the old stories when the genie is about to grant the three wishes and then the genie pauses and says, "Okay, now are you sure you really want this?" Because I don't know if you know this, but if you've been broken and then you're miraculously made whole by the Son of God, you lose the right to ever engage in self-pity again. Did you know that? You never, ever get to complain about anything ever again if you were broken and you have been made whole by the Son of God. And you absolutely lose the ability to walk past another broken person and not care about them. Because you know what it feels like to be the broken person on the mat. Once you've been healed, you can't stop thinking about people who need healing, and your heart breaks for them, and you are just filled with love and compassion for them. To be healed by the Son of God changes everything about your life. You'll never, ever look at yourself or anyone else in the same way ever again. And so, you should think about that before you say yes to that question, "Do you want to be healed?" But after I gave my answer to him about how hopeless it was for me to be healed because I never get into the pool in time, he smiled at me and he gave me a command. And there was no question in my mind that I would obey this command. I mean, if anyone else had said this to me, I would have laughed at them. But when this man said these words to me, I simply obeyed. He said, "Get up, take up your mat, and walk." I had not done any of those things in 38 years. I didn't honestly ever in my life expect to do them again. I was literally being instructed to do something impossible, and then I stood up and I did it. I got up, I picked up my mat, and I walked. I walked, and then I leapt, and then I jumped, and I shouted. I mean, can you imagine what that moment felt like for me? It was the best moment in my entire life. In fact, I attracted a little too much attention. And some of the Jewish leaders heard me and saw me, and they came over to me, and you know what? They didn't start dancing with me. They didn't ask me why I was so happy. They didn't congratulate me and give me a big hug. They didn't even smile. One of them, he said in his most religious and stern and authoritative voice, he said, "It is the Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to take up your bed." And I wanted to say to him, "Are you kidding me? I just got healed after being paralyzed for 38 years, and you're going to cite me on a misdemeanor about carrying my mat on the Sabbath? Do you honestly think that God cares if I carry my mat right now?" I didn't say that, though. I thought it. I said this. "The man that healed me, he told me to pick up my mat and to walk." In other words, what I was trying to say is, look, if this man that healed me, if he has that kind of power and that kind of authority to heal my paralysis by just giving a word of command, well, then when he tells me to do something, I'm going to do it. And they said to me, "Well, who is this guy who had the audacity not only to break the Sabbath by healing you on the Sabbath, which is obviously work, but then to tell you to pick up your mat so that you're breaking the Sabbath now too?" And all of a sudden I realized, I don't know who he is. I never asked him who he was. And now there's this big crowd around me, and he was gone. He was nowhere to be found. And so they let me go, although I had to leave my mat and come back the next day to get it. But when I left, I went to the temple, which is right next to the Pool of Bethesda. I went to the temple because I had just obviously had an encounter with God Almighty. And so I wanted to go to his house. I wanted to pray. I wanted to thank him. I wanted to ask him, okay, what now? And I actually got my answer pretty quickly because in the temple, I bumped into the man who healed me. He was right there in the temple too, and I don't think that was a coincidence. And he looked at me again with those compassionate and loving eyes. And he spoke to me in a voice that was kind, yes, but it was also firm and authoritative. Not at all like the voice of the Jewish leader who was just trying to intimidate me and trying to shame me. This was the voice of someone who loved me and who wanted what's best for me. And he said, "I see that you're well. Go and sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you." As you can imagine, I've thought a lot about those words since that day I heard them. Go and sin no more, so that nothing worse may happen to you. There's so many confusing things in that sentence. Like, what is the something worse that may happen to me? I mean, some sort of horrible physical affliction? What's worse than being paralyzed for 38 years? Was that a threat? Well, it sounded like he was saying that my healing was dependent on my ability to keep the rules. Like what those religious leaders were saying, and that somehow if I messed up, I'd end up in an even worse situation than before I was healed. I mean, and what does that mean, sin no more? Sin no more? I'm not sure I like the implication of that. Sin no more? How does he know what I'd done in the past? He's calling me a sinner. As I thought about those words, I've come to realize that, well, no, actually it wasn't a threat. And no, it wasn't even an accusation. It was an expression of kindness and care and love. He was warning me against the possibility of something worse than physical affliction, something worse than being paralyzed. You see, God made us in his image. And we are, each one of us, we are precious in his sight. And God made us with physical bodies, and that's a gift. Our bodies are a gift. Good health is a gift. Being able to do meaningful work is a gift. Hugging a loved one, enjoying a good meal, these are all physical pleasures, and they're good. These are gifts from God. But right now, at this moment on earth, all is not right here. All is not exactly well here on earth. Because of sin, which is rebellion against God and His law, disease and pain, paralysis have entered into His good creation. All is not as it should be, and so things get old and they decay and they die. That happens to everything. It happens to plants, it happens to animals, it happens to people. Even stars eventually burn out and die. Our bodies are subject to this too. But your body is not all that you are. You have this immaterial part to you. You have a soul. I have a soul. And when we sin against God, when we turn our backs on God, when we insist on our own way, when we fail to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, when we fail to love others as ourselves, what we're doing is damaging ourselves. We're paralyzing our souls. And we're slowly diminishing our ability to love God and to love others. And a pattern of unrepentant sin in our lives is going to lead us to a place of separation from God. And that, being separated from God, is even worse than any physical ailment that we might suffer during our time on earth. And that's what this man was warning me against. Now, I want to call your attention to the fact, I don't know if you noticed this when I told the story, but two different people that day pointed out sin in my life. One, the Jewish leader, did it without any compassion, without any love for me whatsoever. What that man loved was his list, his rule keeping. That's what he loved. That's what religion is all about for that man. Making lists of what you can do and what you can't do, and then enforcing those lists on not only himself, but taking it upon himself to enforce those lists on other people too. There's this self-righteousness about that man when he catches someone else breaking a rule. He loves pointing it out when people break rules. It makes him feel good about his own rule-keeping to point out the flaws and failures of others. And his words, make no mistake, they were designed to shame me. And so let me encourage you this morning, please don't be like that person. If you see someone rejoicing because they just got healed after 38 years, don't tell them to put down their mat. Just rejoice with them, okay? But later that day, when I got called a sinner again, it felt totally different. I didn't feel shamed. I felt loved and whole. You see, I needed that encouragement to live a life of holy obedience to God. I needed to be encouraged to go and sin no more. I needed to be reminded to be vigilant against sin in my own life. Sin is a big deal, and we all need that. But I also needed to know that the person who was saying that to me was saying it out of love for me, and not so that they could act like they're better than me. Be like that. Speak truthfully and lovingly to one another. We need that. We need that. And if the words that you're about to speak are not motivated by compassion and love, if you can't honestly say that the words that you're going to say to someone are motivated by love and compassion, don't say them. Don't. Even if they're true, don't say them. Jesus summarized for us the whole point of the law is to love God and to love others. Which means that unless we are acting and speaking out of love for God and out of love for others, then we're not even beginning to obey God's law. Now technically, if you want to be technical, the religious leader in the story was right. He had a verse on his side. There's a verse in the prophet Jeremiah chapter 17 which says, you shall not bear or carry a burden on the Sabbath. And so technically, when I picked up my mat, I broke that law. But even though that man was technically right, according to the letter of the law, he had his verse. But according to Jesus, he broke the spirit of the law because he wasn't speaking and acting in love. I'll tell you, I learned so much that day. I learned that along with receiving healing, along with being made whole, comes a great responsibility to care for and love others who are broken. Once you've been broken and then been made whole, you have a responsibility to love and care for those who are broken. And I learned that Jesus, the Son of God, has the power to heal physical disease and affliction. I was paralyzed, and then I was made well, and Jesus did that. But I also learned that even more important than physical disease is spiritual disease, and that we need to be always watchful, always mindful not to harden our heart towards God because of unrepentant sin. And I also learned that the motivation behind the words we speak is even more important than the words we speak. And so I went out and I told everyone who asked me that it was Jesus who healed me, which ended up getting him in a lot of hot water because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. And the head religious guys asked him about that. What's the deal? Why are you doing all this on the Sabbath? And he responded and said this, "My Father is working until now, and I am working," which made everyone want to kill him. And so I'll just close our time this morning with one simple question. Just take this home and think about it, if you will. Do you want to be made well? Do you want to be healed? Now, that question is going to have a different meaning for every single person in this room. I get that. But it should be meaningful in one way or another to everyone here. And right now, I'm not asking you about being made physically well. I'm asking, do you want to be made spiritually well? Do you want to be healed? It's an honest question. And what I'm telling you this morning is that healing is available if you want it. Maybe there's someone in this room who has never recognized their own need for a Savior. Maybe there's someone in this room who has never repented of their sins and called on the name of Jesus for salvation. Someone who has never gone from death to life. If that's you, then I'm asking you, do you want to be made well? Do you want to be healed? And I'm telling you that according to the Bible, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But what about everyone in here who has done that already? What does it mean for you to be made well, to be healed? Well, what about that addiction? What about those pills that you know you shouldn't be taking, but you also know that you like taking them, and you don't seem to be able to stop? What about those websites that you feel ashamed of yourself after you look at them, but then you keep going back to them like a moth to a candle? What's your thing? Maybe it's a pattern of behavior. Maybe it's a consistent pattern of anger in your life, or greed, or gluttony. Or maybe it's just fear and anxiety that you give way to, and it keeps you up at night, and you're just so scared. Maybe it's something that was done to you that you didn't deserve, and that has caused a seed of bitterness to grow in you, and you just can't let it go. You want to, but you can't. I don't know what your thing is. I'm just asking, do you want to be made well? Do you want to be whole? Do you want to pick up your mat and walk? Do you want to be free? Do you want to be made well? Do you really and honestly want to let that thing go? Here's what Jesus said to me that day. He looked me in the eye. He said, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." Now, Jesus healed me, right? I needed him. I obviously could do nothing on my own. I could not heal myself. But he invited me to participate in that. He invited me to play a role in that. He told me to get up. He didn't pick me up himself. He told me. He healed me. But then he told me to get up and me to pick up my mat and me to walk. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is ready and willing and able to heal you if you want to be healed. But I also believe that he will invite you to participate in that through prayer, through talking to other people, through getting support, through the people of this church, through sometimes just fighting hard, but at the same time, all the while leaning in his grace and his power. Do you want to be healed? What would it look like for everyone in this room to say yes to that question and then go live it out this week? We'd be different when Sunday rolled around next week. Let's pray together.
Thanks for listening to today's sermon. If you enjoyed it and would like to be a part of the experience, please come and join us. Be blessed wherever you are.